It's really cool to have our next guest with us. He is a former professional basketball referee in the NBA. He was there for 13 seasons. And he wrote an article that Sports Illustrated, I saw it today. He's now got a website called refpicks.com. We'll talk about that. But former NBA referee Tim Donaghy is with us. Tim, thanks so much, man.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Can we talk about your departure from the NBA? I don't want to harp on it, but I think people need to know.
Oh, absolutely. It was a situation where I basically got in over my head and started gambling. And, because of my obsession with it, I started gambling on the NBA and eventually NBA games that I officiated.
Wow.
Passing along inside information to people associated with the Gambino crime family. And because of a wiretap, it was overheard, and the FBI started an investigation and basically began my downfall.
Wow, man. You have to admit it's ironic that you now have refpicks.com, a sports gambling site, but you did, what, 11 months in a federal prison in Florida?
A little over 11 months, I did some time in a federal prison because of wire fraud and gambling.
Wow, man. And you're doing good now, though.
Yeah, I basically got the second chance in life with the website, refpicks.com, and wasn't my first choice of professions, but it was a profession that took off for me, and I have 10 sports handicappers that work for me, and I'll give the advice to people that are gambling legally, and, knock on wood, it's been very successful for me.
Refpicks.com, folks, refpicks.com, Tim Donaghy's handicappers. You got a whole bunch of handicappers probably working with you, right?
Yeah, I got about 10 guys. Some people specialize in different areas, and I, of course, handle the NBA.
Nice. I do hear, and here in the Bay Area, we were very disappointed last night. I heard that you, like me and most of my friends, picked the Warriors to win last night.
Definitely. I thought even though the NBA's best interest was to get to that game six, I thought that they struggled a lot on the road. They shot poorly on the road throughout the playoffs, and, we're going to play poorly, and we all know that that didn't happen, but I'm lucky because I also had the over, so it kind of evened out for me.
Article in Sports Illustrated was headlined, NBA suspended Draymond Green to prolong the finals. My friends and I, before the game last night, were having a beer and talking about this, and we were wondering ourselves, this seemed a little, a little fishy to us that they suspended him for this game in the NBA finals. And you're saying that for financial reasons, among others, that the NBA really wanted this to go to six or even seven games, right?
Well, definitely. I mean, if you look at the history of Green and what he did and how he kicked Adams, which was more overt than, what he did with LeBron, who basically walked over him and taunted him, you have to allow him as a man and as an NBA basketball player to jump up and react to that. And I thought it was an accident, the contact that he made with him.
I agree completely.
And the contact that happened with Adams was definitely unnecessary and excessive. So I felt he should have been suspended for that one where he wasn't. And this one, you got to let him react as a man and as an NBA player. And I think it was an accident, and I don't think he deserved to be suspended. But I think if you look at the scenarios, they're up 3-1 when they suspend them. So it adds another game, possibly another one. And here, it's a different situation when they do suspend them when they're up in the series. So,
yeah,
kind of fishy situation, to say the least.
I think so, too. And you're right. I mean, the kick to the groin was one thing, but I believe the incident with
a little love tap, right? We'll call it a little love tap, a little contact.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll go with that. But the incident with LeBron, I thought, was a total accident. Did you hear the quote from Charles Barkley? He was on a radio show, I guess, yesterday, and he said, "If they go over you, you have a moral right to punch them in the balls."
And not only that, as a referee, they would teach us that You know, when somebody does something to a player, you have to allow that player to react to that. So really, you want to get the first guy and not, get the second guy.
Yeah.
So you have to, like I said, let that guy react as a competitor and as a man, then not to somebody embarrass them and walk over them.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was fishy too. That and in your experience, long time as an NBA ref, did you ever feel during your career that things like this happened?
You know? Sure, they happen all the time. And what you want to do is you want to get the first guy. You want to get the guy who's the aggressor. And you have to allow that guy to react. You have to put yourself in his shoes. If somebody basically was doing that to you, you're going to have to react and protect yourself as a man.
Which I think Draymond Green did, but I still think that second one with LeBron was an accident.
Yes, no doubt. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. What about the officiating? You've also commented on that, that maybe the officials are also in cahoots with the NBA. They trying to get the series extended?
No doubt about it. I write about this at length in my book, Personal Foul. When a team is up 3-1 in the series, 2-1 in the series, or whatever the situation is, when somebody has a big advantage, the league comes in, shows the officials plays in the previous games and shows some things that they want them to concentrate on in that night. And it always puts that team that's down in the series at an advantage, so those officials are concentrating on things that they're going to call that's going to give that team that's down in the series an advantage.
That is shocking in many ways. In some ways it's not, but... Man, fan.
Oh, trust me. When I went through this whole scenario in meetings with the FBI agents and everything, their jaws dropped and hit the ground. But after a thorough 3 or 4 month investigation, they came back and told me that I told the truth at every turn, and that's why Phil Scala, who was the supervisory special agent who arrested me, wrote the foreword for my book, which gave me a lot of credibility in the whole situation.
No kidding. But fans of professional sports, certainly fans of the NBA, hearing this stuff, I mean, it flips us out. It's like, oh my God. And not only that, Trump could become president. What's going on in this country?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny that you brought that up because I emailed Mark Cuban the other day and I told him if he becomes president or vice president, I want a part.
Right on. So do you think this happens across different sports leagues, professional sports leagues, or just the NBA?
I think it happens, somewhat in hockey and baseball with the strike zone, hockey with fouls, like they could call in basketball. Obviously, it's not going to happen in football. I think it happens to a certain extent, but certainly not to the level that it happens in the NBA, because the arrogance of the NBA, and in the past, David Stern, I think Silver's a little bit more polished than Stern with the arrogance, but... You know, Stern came out at one point and said his ideal finals would be the Lakers versus the Lakers. I mean, what message is that sending to the fans and to the people that, know a little bit about business? It's the bottom line is what's important to him, not the competitive fairness of the game.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I'm reading this. Donaghy also said that it seemed referees were instructed to favor teams down in a series. While you were still officiating, as you just talked about. Let me read this quote. Definitely, indirectly, with the tape sessions that took place and how they would show you plays that they wanted you to concentrate on in the game, it was always a situation where the team down in the series was going to benefit from those calls. I don't know if I'll ever be able to look at basketball again.
Yeah, I never forget... Several years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I was the alternate official in the series with Dallas versus Houston. We moved to Houston for the series, and Houston was up 2-0. So you're going to Houston's home floor where you would think that they would have the advantage. The league comes in, and in the tape session tells us to concentrate on Yao Ming setting illegal screens and traveling with the ball when he has it in the post.
Oh, my God.
You know, we left that meeting laughing, knowing that, Dallas was going to get the benefit of most of the calls, and Dallas goes on to win the series in 7 games and go to the NBA Finals that year.
How can these refs live with themselves? How can the NBA live with themselves on this?
the referees can live with themselves very simply, because each round that you advance in the playoff, you make a huge bonus. So you're going to be graded by the people in the NBA office, and you want to give them what they want. So therefore, it's like a big sales bonus at the end of the year for meeting your quota.
How come this hasn't been investigated by Congress or somebody? Or I mean, it's just they're so amazing that
the way the FBI explained it to me, if it was all over, is the NBA markets itself as NBA entertainment, so it's similar to pro wrestling in a way, the way the rules are and legalities are set up. But for the most part, people think it's like college or high school basketball, where everybody's on a level playing field, but really the referees are refereeing the names on the front and back of jerseys rather than the violations that occur based on the rules.
Unbelievable. I have Warrior fans, thousands and thousands of them in the Bay Area right now, about to drive off the road or something.
They shouldn't be, because I think that they're going to get their second championship. They may have a little bit of a hard time in Cleveland, but they're certainly going to be able to take care of business on their home floor in a game seven.
Yeah, we were talking with the San Jose Mercury News sports guy, Mark Purdy, earlier, and he asked me, do you want it to go end at 6 in Cleveland or go to 7? And the only reason I want it to go to 7 is because I want to see the Warriors do it here at home and watch that arena explode. But
The only problem with that is you have to be careful with that, because you never know when somebody's going to go off and players are going to have a game above what they usually have, like they did in game 5. So you have to be careful, because some guys can really go off like Irving and LeBron did, and it could cause some problems for you.
Right. The book, Tim Donaghy's book, is Personal Foul, a first-person account of the scandal that rocked the NBA. I can't wait to read this. I know it came out in 2010, I think, but I have to get it and read this, and it's available everywhere, folks. Tell us a little more about refpicks.com and how it works.
Like I said, it's 10 sports handicappers that work for me. We cover everything that has a Vegas line, and the different handicappers specialize in different sports, and give you an analysis on why a certain team's going to win a certain game. And if you're gambling legally, it's, $20 to get a play. And, we're usually hitting in the 60%, 61% range. So for the long term, if you follow somebody, you usually do pretty well.
So bet on the Warriors to win this one? Or the finals?
I think that the Warriors, are going to definitely win, whether it's in 6 or 7 games. I find it very hard to believe that Cleveland would play as well as they played in Game 5 and Game 7 if it ends up going back to Golden State.
Yeah, I agree. Quickly, just given what happened to you, and as you called it, I guess, your downfall and a gambling problem, do people come to you and say, wow, it's really strange that now you have a sports betting site?
Oh, absolutely. But, unfortunately for me, there wasn't people knocking down the doors to hire me. It was a situation where it definitely wasn't my first choice as a profession. But I stumbled upon it. It went so well so quickly. It was a great opportunity for a second chance in life, and I'm pretty fortunate.
I have to ask, do you have your gambling situation under control? Is it just this is, a fun thing to do when you're good at picking winners, et cetera, in the NBA?
Absolutely. It's we have a little Ref Picks radio on there, some segments. We do some radio work, and we put out the plays on the game. So I definitely get my fix off of just the competitive nature of trying to be successful and doing the sports radio.
Very cool. Tim Donaghy, thank you so much. It's refpicks.com, REF. I hope we can talk again.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll get together after game 6 if there's a game 7.
All right. Cool, man. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank take care.
You, sir.
Wow. The book is Personal Foul, a first-person account of the scandal that rocked the NBA by Tim Donaghy. He was the guy in the scandal that rocked the NBA. Who was it? Mark Purdy said he's heard him on the radio before. He said, great interview. You're going to dig it. And Mark, if you're listening, hello. All right. Wow, that was cool. We'll talk to him again at some point, either after the Warriors win this thing or certainly next season. Good get, Mike.